It's got time travel conundrum, bug holes, Fenno Farms, historic Cincinnati, why that Christ fellow was crucified, Jesse's evasions, and the trouble with TNG era films.
We're gonna call Jimmy.
What are we gonna call him?
We're gonna call him on the phone.
Isn't that exciting?
God, Jesus.
Sorry.
Was that you?
Who doesn't have a microphone?
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey.
How's life?
Do we have to tell him that he's being recorded?
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, you're being recorded. I think he knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
You're on the air. So we don't get sued, you know. That's what's up.
So what was your question, Daniel?
Oh, but I had to have Jesse ask the question.
Yeah, okay. I forgot what the question was.
It was the 7 hours time travel.
You pick 7 hours in history and
go anywhere. Okay, you can go anywhere you want in the entire world at any point in history for 7 hours.
And then, like, when you come back, they chop off your pinky.
Yeah, but forget about that part because that gets silly. And then it involved, like, Patrick.
No,
said,
you have to lose your pinky.
Like, okay.
Why? I don't understand the rationale. Why would, like, you're going back in time. The rules are you go back in time.
Anywhere you want.
7 hours. I already asked Daniel. He confirmed that this time travel device would take into account the motion of the Earth.
And the galaxy.
So if you travel back in time a minute, you won't be, like, floating in space.
It takes all that into consideration. Brilliant.
What's the point of the pinky? Is that why do you need the cost?
That was when I was just kind of riffing on the idea and being silly.
See, the cost is that it's 7 hours.
Yeah,
that's the cost.
You have to go 7 hours. You
limited
can't
to 7 hours.
Yeah, you can't come back before the 7 hours. If it's really cool, you can't stay longer than 7 hours. But you have to stay the full 7 hours. That's the contingency. I think that's good.
And you chose Cincinnati.
Yeah, I would go to Cincinnati in the 19th century, but and Patrick would go back 80 million years to Earth to check out the vegetation and the non-grass.
Yeah, because there was no grass, there were no flowering plants.
I didn't really understand.
It was like giant ferns, right?
It was interesting, though.
Giant ferns.
Yeah, there was a bunch of ferns. So wait, what did Jesse say?
Giant ferns.
Oh shit! No, I said giant ferns.
Hello. A giant fern. No, he wants to see the giant fern.
Oh, I hadn't chosen.
Yeah. You said King Arthur flippantly, but then I was like...
No, I was making a joke about... I said something about the times of King Arthur.
Well, I thought that meant you were going back to the year 500 in Wales, which is for 7 hours. That's what I thought you were saying.
I don't know.
Yeah. Where would you go, Jesse?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to think about it, and then... We started talking about other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Natalie and Mike are having.
You were asking Jimmy. And
it's more like meaningful.
Natalie and Mike are having an interesting conversation that's not being recorded.
What did Natalie do? Something about.
Yeah, something.
Sicily
it was interesting.
I wanted to go back and see the family farm in Sicily that got taken.
See, Natalie's given a.
Was it taken by, like, the mafia or something?
Like some olives on that farm?
Any response because I'm not wearing headphones. So I'm just talking into a microphone. Hello.
What did they grow on the farm?
Olives.
I don't know what they grew on the farm. Just that I was told how nice the water was and that they often went swimming. And it
was it some kind of like cheese farm?
Was it a lake or was it on the sea?
It was on
the
sea.
Did they grow cheese there?
There was
Sicily,
somewhere.
So I guess, yeah.
Fennel? Was it a fennel farm?
Fennel.
I don't know what they.
You're gonna have more than just fennel.
And this is your mom's dad, right?
Yeah, my mom's dad's family.
So with Natalie, she's chosen a genealogical approach. What were you, Daniel? Cincinnati, also genealogical.
That was also genealogical. Yeah.
I was more about.
Thank you.
The dinosaurs. I wanted to look at dinosaurs.
Right. Well, you wanted. He wanted to look at the vegetation. You didn't care about the dinosaurs.
No, I cared about the dinosaurs. I was just saying, in addition to the dinosaurs, that everyone...
Some things would be cool to see some big bugs.
Yeah, like big bugs, because the oxygen level was like 35%, so it could support larger bugs, because bugs get their oxygen through like holes in their body, so that it's limited by the diameter.
Cool,
they got holes in the bodies.
Bugs,
you should get on that one.
Bugs.
Yeah, yeah. No, join up. Join up, please.
Bugs suffer. Bugs suffer from the inverse square law.
Right.
They suffer from the inverse square law.
Inverse square law.
I think it's the inverse square law. I don't know. It's one of those laws that says, like, the circle, when the circle gets bigger, like, the way it works, so, like, that's why bugs are limited in size.
Right.
Because as the oxygen level goes down, like, they need to be smaller because the holes can only, like, the...
How big were the insects then?
Huge.
Giant.
Much bigger.
80 million years ago. Well, I mean, like, if you had a... Were flies alive 80 million years ago?
I don't know about flies. I know dragonflies were around, and they were quite large.
How large?
As large as I've seen in pictures.
As large as Jesse?
They were big. You ever see those things that are like marlins?
Right, yes.
They were like that.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, I'm wondering, when
what are you talking about? Like a fish? What?
Don't listen to me.
What if flies... Natalie, can you hear us?
Turn Natalie's microphone up a little more.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
There you go. We were talking last week about how Jesse talks on the phone with Natalie... And it, like, he can never hear you?
Oh, that's not true.
I have to turn it up.
Hold on, let me turn that up a second.
Am I getting you in trouble? I didn't mean to start.
No, she just, you have to turn it up a lot.
Oh, yeah, no, because he said that you were at work and, like, you're kind of whispering. You're being polite to the people around you, but he's like, I can't hear you.
You don't work in a library.
He has to turn the volume up to 10 just to, like, understand. And he, you know.
But he hears other things. He should be able to hear my voice if I'm talking right into the phone.
I agree. I think he's a maniac.
Maniac. Yeah.
I'm on your side, Natalie.
There's sides on this.
I just stirred up some
shit.
Horrible. Each in our own camp. Exactly.
Yeah, man. See, I'm a troublemaker. Look what I just did.
I know, man.
If you guys get divorced in like 5 years, this is where it all started, right here.
Thanks, dude.
I know. I'm sorry, man.
Costanza.
It's like, I didn't mean to do it. Costanza. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing I would try to get you guys back together and somehow make your lives worse. You'd end up getting you both AIDS or something, you know, somehow. Like, I don't know.
That sounds like a threat.
No. I swear to God, I would.
Now you both
it.
Got AIDS.
I like these guys. They're a beautiful couple and wonderful people. And that's how it is.
That's anyway. Sweet, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
So, did we all
still
explain.
Talking about bugs?
Yeah, bugs. So
they got holes.
Patrick
in their
would
bodies.
Go back 80 million years, and Natalie was
yeah.
Answered.
Look at some bugs and some the lack of grass because there's no grass.
Can I tag along on more than one trip?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. I would.
Does this hypothetical situation get to happen like only once, or do I get like,
for Natalie
three
is
times?
Natalie's allowed to go as many times as she wants.
Oh shit!
Well, that's because Natalie refused to answer, citing all the places she wanted to go.
And
then Daniel reframed the question as, "What would the first place you'd go?"
Because you can't go everywhere.
He was like,
at
"You
once.
Can go anywhere you want, but what would the first place be?" I don't know if he's giving you that option. He might make.
I might revoke it after she gets back and I take her pinky. You know, sorry. But but she said she'd go to Italy, and we still haven't gotten Jesse or Mike's answer.
Or Jimmy's.
Mike doesn't want to play this shit.
You know, I'm thinking, man.
No, it's a big question. Or Jimmy, Jimmy's on the phone. Jimmy doesn't care either.
Nah.
Would you go back to like the colonial times of like Brazil?
No.
he knows about that shit already.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, we could get out of Jimmy just giving him random scenarios. We can give him like 70 scenarios and be like, "No, I wouldn't go there." But like, you like, so.
How about 1970s Manhattan?
Yeah.
No, I was thinking more like Woodstock.
Ah, here we go.
Ah, see, Woodstock would be good.
That would be good.
Part of my interest in this is that it's interesting to see not only what other people's answers are, but the category of answer.
Yeah.
And because like both Natalie and Daniel gave like sort of genealogical, like family, like direct family, wanting to see something about the history of their family.
Yeah.
I was into sort of, I guess, the more like experiencing some weird...
Yeah, people I didn't know, but I knew people who knew them.
And Jimmy's is like a culturally historical thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what Jesse's is yet because he keeps stalling.
He's thinking. I could see him.
I didn't
thinking.
Know that I had to answer. I thought that
no,
was
you
got to.
Everyone's no, going mean, to answer.
Well, Natalie gets
all unprepared.
You know how these podcasts work.
Hey, Natalie, can you?
I do not.
Did we get Natalie's full answer on the podcast, or?
I do not know.
I thought I gave a full answer.
Did she?
Yeah, I think she gave. I mean, she.
If she did, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make you relive.
To
this.
Be fair, I don't quite remember what it was.
I wanted to see the farm in Sicily.
That's right, the farm. In Sicily by the sea.
Yeah.
And where they had good water.
And this was
and
your...
olives and fennel?
Lots
you
of fennel.
This was your mother's father.
It's a fennel farm.
So this is your maternal grandfather.
Yeah. Meatballs?
It's interesting.
Meatball farm?
It was beautiful, except for one problem.
Well, didn't somebody die?
He always smelled of fennel. And or
that sounds so
bad. Anise.
Fennel is good for you.
Do you grow...
Anise smell is from
anise.
Fennel.
I know.
Fennel.
Yeah. Star anise.
What's the question?
Star anise. That's the
no,
question.
We're just saying that Jesse hasn't said anything.
Yeah, like Natalie gave an answer. She'd go back to Italy in the 70s, you know, 30, 40 years ago. I'd go back to Cincinnati in 1855.
I bet it was the shithole.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. But okay, and then, but I would get to see my, you know, great grandparents.
Look at that shithole.
Yeah, I'd enjoy it. It'd probably be, you know, probably smelled bad in cities back then. They didn't have like sewage.
I think it smelled bad in cities 10 years ago.
Dude,
yeah, it still smelled bad.
Time,
some
like,
places.
That city probably stunk. The river.
That's maybe
no
why he moved out of the
collection.
City.
There was no.
You ever been to Wilmington?
That
place is smelly.
This is just right outside of Cincinnati in this neighborhood called Avondale. Which is where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know,
it anyway. Might be really nice.
Yeah, I think it was a nice house, and the house is still there. When my dad and I visited it like
fewer,
10 years ago,
fewer odors probably.
We got an old Sanborn map and put it over a new map, and we're like, "Holy shit!" The house that was built in 1850 is still wow. there, and
that's
we
cool.
and we went out and saw the house, and there was like these kids in the house, these college kids.
What's a Sanborn map?
It's like a map that they made.
Is that like David Sanborn?
It's a map that they would like make of like. Cities and like they'd show who owned what property and it would like they'd have the last name of the owner on it and,
oh, okay.
and then they'd do like you know I know suburban is a wrong you know apocryphal way to call it but like you know areas where there were houses and farms they'd show the name
that
last
was,
name
that was the suburbs back then
yeah I mean it was yeah so basically right outside cities or even in country areas they'd have like this is structure is owned by and they'd have the last name of the owner or this property or this real estate or whatever
yeah
so
like a
you
property
could,
map.
Yeah, so I look back at an 18, I think it was an 1860 map, I'm not sure. But then I see like, you know, Johnson on it. I'm like, "Holy shit.
That's
is,
your name."
Yeah, and I'm like, "Whoa, this is the same guy." And then I, you know, it all matched up with the census because they have census records.
That was Hoadley Johnson, right?
That was Charles Lester Johnson.
Charles Lester.
Lester.
He served in the Civil War.
On which side?
On the Union side.
Right. On the North, I would assume. Right.
Well, yeah. You never know. I was. Lester. It would be kind of hilarious if he like,
yes.
traveled along
the way. I don't like this. Yeah, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati
right.
dips down
he just went to like Kentucky or something.
Yeah, he was like, well, the thing is.
Some
is
people
that
did that.
Kentucky stayed in the Union.
Oh, I know they did.
Well, it was the last, that was one of the major stops on the Underground Railroad is like you got to get to Cincinnati. And like in Uncle Tom's Cabin, that's like the big chase scene is to get across the Kentucky River, right, to Cincinnati. Anyway,
Ohio River.
Yeah, I'm done. See, this is why we need Jesse here. He can correct my ass. So anyway, I'd go back to like 1860 or and see what the house looked like then. Maybe 1880 actually. I'd go to 1880.
How big was?
Would you be
house?
Disappointed
it was
if the
it was
house
pretty
just
house.
Looked pretty much exactly the same because it was well preserved?
I would be happy. I would be fascinated to see that. I would actually enjoy that more. I'm sure there's been stuff changed about it, but like they had a castle. I have pictures of this. There's like a castle kind of thing, like chimney kind of thing, and then there was a house attached to it. I don't think it was functional, the castle thing. It was just there for show. It was kind of like a style of the time, a romanticism kind of
thing. A turret kind of thing?
Yeah. It had that, and that had to be original.
It's where they put the ladies
yeah.
when they had the monthlies.
They had that there.
They actually had that, by the way. I mean, I know people have heard of that before, but in Salzburg,
mm-hmm.
the Archduke's palace and all that is all beautiful. But there is up in the hill, just a little ways up, there's this beautiful little sort of mini castle, and it's called like the Monatshaus, which is like the monthly house.
Oh man!
And it's where the Archduke yeah. presumably sent his wife and his mistresses
once a month.
Once a month.
Were they all synchronized?
Yeah.
That I don't know. I've heard that question actually asked before.
Oh, no,
because
that's
tours,
a thing.
But
yeah.
Like, yeah, so, but it was, it's like pretty ridiculous. Yeah. It was all nice.
It's a biological
like,
thing. People can have their periods synced. That's not being sexist, is it? Is
I that, saw that on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, come
it
on.
Happens. It happens.
It's not, anyway, whatever. No, I don't have a vagina, so I'm not going to, and I'm not a gynecologist, so I'm not going to claim to know.
I think that's only if they're all, like, hanging out, and they're, he's probably
they,
not hanging out with
then,
his wife and his
then you get on that rhythm.
What, did they all just hang out and just bleed all over everything?
Like, no, like, so like, I, so
for stain parties?
They had special chairs where they bled
I don't know,
all over
I don't
chairs.
Know that it was all I understood.
Because this guy sounds like a jerk, just bleed all
oh,
over
yeah.
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he was an archduke.
I'm sure
like,
he
know.
Was a jerk
yeah.
of some sort.
I mean, this is like the 1500s. But, like, no, I mean,
asshole.
I don't know if they, I don't know if they bled on each other. But, like, they,
not on each other,
bleed
on
all over
stuff.
The place.
It was like really
For
nice,
real.
And it was funny because like on the tour,
it was really nice.
No, yeah, it is really nice. And on the tour, they make that point, and you're like, yeah, I don't think that's the issue people have with this concept of them being in prison. Just because they're imprisoned in a castle, does not mean it's not being imprisoned and it's, like shunned,
yeah.
you know, for X amount of time.
Well, it might not be so bad if they could bleed on something and then like chuck it out. Throw it at him out the window.
That's true. Maybe that's why he had it like up the hill. Maybe yeah. that's why he built the place in the first place. Because whatever the previous
well, they probably
were,
it's probably
were
out of range.
They could make a trebuchet. They could like get together. They could all team up.
Did he had a camera in there so he could watch them?
Yes, he had a,
in the 1500s.
Well, maybe he had a camera obscura.
Right. He probably yeah.
And like a painter painting.
Maybe in another town he had cameras where the periods were synced to a different. Cycle, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think the issue with the Archduke of Salzburg in 1500s.
I'm glad nobody listens to this podcast.
That's
thank God for that.
Provided the people were healthy enough to have a normal period cycles.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't happen that well, frequently.
Well, they had nutrition. If they ever had a duke, they probably were fed well.
I mean, that's a city.
I'm talking
Salzburg,
out of my ass this whole time.
Was
okay,
a city, and it was
I admit
probably
it.
You know a well-off city because mm-hmm. it was. You know, an important city. So mm-hmm. some of the people were probably doing all right.
Well, the Duke probably was, and his mistresses probably were.
Probably. Save for the whole imprisonment thing.
Except when you get your period and you have to live in a prison.
And except when you get your penis chopped off.
Well, if he wasn't that what? Nice, he'd probably just want to get away and, like, hang out in the tower for a while. Just tell him, I got my period again.
Yeah, they're right. And, like, you want to get away from this maniac.
Maybe
like,
that's
oh,
where he went when... They had
see, I think that's the key.
He like he's all held up in there.
You should be more egalitarian.
Awesome
like I'm
he,
going over here.
If he put himself in the tower, I would just oh I got my period. Again.
Just,
time for the tower.
Yeah, right.
He's got yeah.
Well, I was thinking like, wouldn't it be better to have like just to be more egalitarian, just have a variety of weird little castles strewn about the property,
yeah.
and then like y'all take it in turns when you're pissing each other off to
yeah go to the castle. Know?
Like, I'm
not
going
even,
over
not
here.
Even go to the castle. Like it doesn't come to that because there's a variety of castles, so they can just sort of
do
wander
they,
around.
Do they have air conditioning in the castle?
They do. This is the
no.
1500s.
Yeah. Do they have like
no
Netflix in there? Because I mean, I think it
there's
would be
no
boring as hell.
There's no running.
Do they have like you know like Bible or what do they?
They
what
had
do they
Bibles.
Have?
Yeah.
What do they have?
Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah, they have the Gutenberg Bible.
Stop
they
them from being
shit.
Mad at each other.
Because they're spending a lot of time apart, you know.
The
that's why that's why on the Dick Van Dyke show, Dick Van Dyke and his wife, they got along well. No, actually,
you
left?
I don't know. This whole thing is funny to me.
Are you laughing because he said Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah, he said Dick.
Okay, I retract that. I retract the previous statement about Dick Van Dyke.
Retract.
Does not make sense in the context of Dick Van Dyke show.
My dick contracted.
Does not make sense. But,
yeah.
but I imagine like if it's kind of you know what it is. This is my vision. It's like Super Mario Brothers, right?
Like so the toad penis.
Yeah, like Trump's toad penis, except for like the Duke is Mario, the mistresses and his queen or whatever or Duchess. The Duchess
yeah.
are they're like the princesses, and they kind of like. They, like, hole up in the various castles.
That's where Mario like, came from. It's based on that.
And then the Duke has to, like...
Our princess is in another castle.
He gets all horny in order to get, you know, get laid. He has to, like, do a bunch of trials.
Do you think Mario was just really horny?
The plumber, though.
Yeah, they had plumbing back in this castle, so you could take a dump and not have to go outside if it was
cold.
They had
all those pipes, but there was like
a bunch of sluices. Wasn't it just sluices things, that like sort of slopped down into a...
Wait, so
some of them had plants growing
a,
out of them, and they're like piranha plants.
A bunch of castles for some epic game of hide and seek?
Exactly.
Essentially hide and seek, except with like challenges. So that the
obstacle courses,
basically.
Fireballs.
So what it does is it gives.
Oh, so you could get all like Home Alone on this guy.
It just makes the it makes the relationship more entertaining if like the Duke has to run around and like do all this stuff, and then like you know, they're not arguing over like the color of the couch or how the servants aren't quite up to snuff, you know. Since such and such happened with who and who.
Oh, Jesse, this whole time, and I'm enjoying this conversation, are you thinking about where you're going to go?
No, he's not.
Time?
He's stalling.
Well, I was, and then I keep getting distracted because I'm participating in the conversation.
So do we have to get back to that train of thought for you to come? Because I was thinking this whole time you could be, like, calculating in your head. Like,
I was trying to think of something funny.
Well, don't think of something funny. What is something you find interesting? It could be something really self-centered, like me and Natalie, where we want to see our families, which is, I think, fascinating. I mean, you know. But or it could be something, you know, very scientifically curious like Patrick, where he just wants to see what things look like
cool.
80 million years ago. But
then you should go to Shambhala.
Jimmy wants to see Woodstock. Who would you go see if you had seven hours at Woodstock? Who would you want to see? Jimi Hendrix?
I would see like that third day where they had like Santana, I think, like Sly and the Family Stone, definitely Hendrix.
Oh man, that'd be so good. That you could get all that in 7 hours, I bet. Yeah, you just
sure.
have to. Yeah, you'd have to find the wind.
If you're on acid, you sure can.
Yeah, you could do acid like 3 hours before the time travel, and by the time you get there, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm in Woodstock for 7 hours, motherfucker, and that's the peak of my trip. That would be actually probably that's probably the coolest answer so far. Most brilliant. I was thinking the grassy knoll would be one where it would be, you know, you could find out because you only have 7 hours. You get 7 hours in the past. It's not like you get to see a whole war.
You just hang out on the grassy knoll for 7 hours.
Well, I'm saying you could actually see a pivotal moment in history.
Well, I mean, if you get to choose what time
you
go back, you know
the
time.
The library, the conservatory.
Yeah.
Well, you could be there. Oh, you're talking about the where the book. Depository?
The suppository.
Yeah, you could be anywhere. I mean, you could be, it doesn't have to be the grass. I was just saying the grassy knoll because that's more iconic to the JFK assassination.
Sure.
What's a book depository?
I'm not sure.
I think, I don't know.
But
it's like where they keep textbooks before they get distributed to places.
The place where they take Hillary Clinton out of the textbook.
Yeah.
They delete the place where
they round them up. And
isn't that just a warehouse?
They lock
them up. I always thought it was like the place where you take books you don't want and you just throw them in there. I don't know.
I don't think that's it.
Like old electronics, you know, when you have to dispose of them. That doesn't make sense either.
Take them to the Fairfax County Transfer Station.
Exactly.
There are good people there.
So keep in mind the 7 hours. I think
I am, man.
Jimmy has probably the best catered to the question of you have 7 hours anytime, anywhere.
So you have to beat him.
Yeah.
You have to beat him.
Well, it's not a competition.
No, it is.
Well,
it's
I would find
a competition.
I would find it fascinating just watching people walk on the street in Cincinnati in the 19th century. I mean, that'd be boring as hell, but to me, it would be fascinating.
They burn you as a witch.
Yeah, they might. So you could, Jesse, you could say 3 days ago, you could say, I'd want to go back to my wedding to relive the best day of my life with the love of my life. You could say that. You probably should say that.
7 hours? I think it lasted for more than 7 hours.
Well, you get 7 hours of that. You know, 7 hours of that day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you have to pick that. What's something you have literally... Do I have to narrow it down to, like, you have to do it within a certain amount of time?
Is
or?
It the 7 hours that's giving you trouble?
Yeah. What part of
no.
this...
No. it's the centuries of history.
Yeah, because he reads a lot of history, and he's just like, oh my god, the Byzantine Empire, oh my god, the American Revolution, oh my god, colonial period. In you know,
see, I wanted to talk about recipes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, go back.
Do you have like a top five?
If you could go anywhere, where would be your test run? That's how I got Natalie to answer. You get to go anywhere you want. You have unlimited things because you're a knight. The knights get unlimited trips. Where's the first place you go for 7 hours?
Daniel's implying that the knights are both frustratingly frustratingly miserable people.
I refuse
to play along.
Well, when I did that with Natalie, when I narrowed it down, I got a really interesting answer from her. So I'm trying to do that with I'm trying to do that with Jesse. Well, I mean, like, you can go anywhere later on. You can go to Botswana in 1485.
Could I go to like a park in Botswana?
Yeah, you could. Is that the first place you're going to go? Botswana, 1485, in a park?
Namibia.
Is that the plan at this point? Because, you know, that's not terrible. It'd be interesting for 7 hours.
Botswana. What's in Botswana?
I have no idea.
Savannah.
I guess I'll find out after 7 hours at least.
I would like to go to, like, London in 1880 and just stand by Big Ben and just watch people walk by, you know?
But it would be gross.
Big Ben's the name of the clock, not the
London
tower.
Was really gross.
Oh.
You'd have to go,
never mind.
You'd go to Parliament, dude.
Yeah, Parliament.
Parliament.
That's where I would go. And I would, there's a song called
There's a bridge there. It's more fun.
Yeah, that's where I go. There's a song called Cock in My Pocket on the radio right now that Mike's listening to.
Sweet.
It's pretty cool, actually. Anyway, no. So, yeah, but wouldn't that be interesting, Jimmy or Jesse, to just go back to, like, you know, like a city for 7 hours?
So you're just saying pick a city and a year?
Well, I think you have too much.
Just sort of, you know, just be there for 7 hours.
Something you think, yes. Where would you like to go just to hang out for 7 hours? It could be a pivotal moment in history, like Woodstock or the JFK assassination, or it could just be a random Wednesday in the 1700s somewhere. Like in Philadelphia.
You mentioned JFK a lot.
I know, I do. I'm obsessed. I think that it's like the dead Kennedys. Like, I think the world would be a lot better place if JFK or RFK hadn't been killed.
Well, definitely Bobby, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, if Bobby had been president in 1968, I mean, or 1969, things would be... If we had gone from LBJ as president... to our RFK as president for 4 years, that I mean the world would be, instead of Nixon,
followed by BTK.
Maybe that'd be he'd fuck it all up. It'd be actually like, can we have Nixon back, please? Like Nixon would somehow run in 1980, you know, and like have Reagan as his vice president. Who knows? That'd be a bizarre world. But I think the world would be better even if we ended up with maniacs like Trump in the White House later. I still think the kind of things that RFK would have gotten done in the 1960s and 70s would have been amazing for our country. So I am kind of obsessed with the Kennedys.
Weren't they done by Lyndon Johnson?
Yeah, but I'm saying more stuff would have been done by RFK. He probably would have.
Yeah,
right.
They would not as much would be. More of it would still be intact.
Well, LBJ would probably not get the credit he deserves, you know, if RFK, because it'd be all about the Kennedy boys. But like, no, LBJ is the one who twisted all the arms and got most of this shit done, you know.
Yeah,
we don't
he still doesn't
anymore.
Get any credit, and it's still all about the Kennedy boys.
Yeah, you're right. He's the one who did everything, and they're like, all those Kennedys, you know, like, we don't have an LBJ stadium. You know, seriously.
I know.
And RFK wasn't even president.
LBJ stadium?
He didn't even get, well, I mean, he was killed.
Wait,
I understand.
He got an airport? Does he have an airport?
JFK does. LBJ? Probably in Texas, there's probably the Lyndon Johnson.
Seems like there's some sort of LBJ.
Yeah, Herbert Walker Bush. For
well, he got one, yeah.
There's like Lady Bird stuff.
Yeah, they like Lady Bird. You know, well, she put up with him.
He was nice.
Yeah, yeah. She put up with his grossness. I think LBJ is a genius. He used to take his penis out and say, check out Jumbo. And just to intimidate people in Congress to get them to vote for what he wanted. This is how it worked back then. You know,
that only worked because he actually had a large penis.
Yeah, he had a very big penis, and he said, "Do you ever see one this
big?" Couldn't
son?
Just wave any penis in anyone's face.
Well, he would take his penis out. Hey, boy, you ever see a penis this big? And then that would establish the pecking order. That's why Trump is screwed now.
Is that in the Robert Caro biographies whipping out his dick?
I'm not sure where it's from, but I do know in the Hardball, Chris Matthews, the book Hardball that he wrote back in the 80s, he mentions how when LBJ first came to Congress, he took like 70 showers that day to meet everybody. And I never made the connection.
He would have meetings in the shower.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he said that, like, you know, when you go and you're like a freshman House representative or senator, I don't know what it was. You'd go and you'd use the bathroom, take a shower. He went back to the shower like 30 times just to meet people.
He definitely would take like 3 or 4 showers a day.
And the thing is, like, he did that so he could like build his network. And I never made the connection that he probably had his dick out the whole time. And everybody's like, "God damn, I'm gonna vote with this guy. This guy's got the biggest dick in Congress." I think I've offended Natalie again. I lose myself in the moment.
I think it was perfectly acceptable.
About the 1880s, I was thinking about going to Richmond and seeing cable car, like the trolley system. Cause
oh, yeah, they
the
had
first,
all those. Yeah.
Because that was one of the first, like, operating.
It was like the first electric, yeah.
Really? And, in Richmond?
Yeah, and that Frank Sprague was the guy that did the electric motors, and I would have really liked to meet him.
And you, yeah, for 7 hours, you could have a cool little lunch with that guy. So what about you?
7 hours is a long lunch.
Or you could meet the guy, like get to know him a little bit, you know, talk
that's
about
like
what
lunch
he likes.
And dinner or something.
Well, in the 1880s, what did people do? They just watched the fire? It was probably pretty boring. You're watching embers in the fire, yeah. You know, you're like, oh, my God.
A lot of things were being invented around that time. I mean, it wasn't just Edison. There were a bunch of people getting patents for stuff. Like, things were happening.
Things were happening.
That's true.
It would have been cool to see people just making things.
See Edison torture an elephant to death?
No, not that.
Would you go for those 7 hours when the elephant was dying?
If I could have stopped it?
Yeah, you get to go back. There you go. That's one of your trips. Go back and stop Edison from being a maniac. So, Jesse,
people just didn't know about electricity or how it worked. They were afraid because they couldn't see it, and they didn't know what, you know.
That's true.
There were a bunch of, like, wires all over the place, and, like, everyone had their own cable.
Oh, man.
A mess.
It is a fascinating transitional period in the 1880s where you go from, like, lamps and, you know, like, to you know, what we have now, the infrastructure we have now for electricity. I mean, in the 21st century. It's like the pro, like they had like cars, but like, well, I don't
moving
know if
from gas to electric was a big.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a major transitional point, the late 19th century in all of the world. But Jesse, is there one, name a point in history or a country of history that you are interested in?
Okay. How about just like first century Rome or something?
Okay. So
there you go.
Yeah. Like, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So the year
just like 7 hours of some day, and
would you go back to the year like 32 and see Christ being crucified or whatever for those 7 hours?
Well, that probably didn't happen. So.
Well, there's that. Well, you could, yeah.
Yeah, I could go to that time and then see and be like, ha.
They lied.
And then I could come back and be like, ha.
You'd have that over everybody. You'd start your own religion. You'd
yeah,
be the next
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you'd
it.
Be like, I know there's no Christ because I went back and I couldn't see that shit. And they'd all say, oh, you went back to the wrong time. See, that's how they get you. They'd be like, no, you should have gone 3 hours later.
Right. It's like, oh, you didn't calculate the date properly.
Exactly. That's what it would be because yeah. You got to be very precise with these 7 hours.
Yeah.
So we got Jesse to admit that he's interested in first century Rome.
So that narrows it down to 100 years.
To
yeah.
100 years is good.
The years zero or like, year one to the year 99.
He was like, you should go back and see Christ crucified. And I was like, well, no, that probably didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could go back in time and be like, ha.
Ha. you lie. But then like they'd say, oh, you got the wrong date. And it would just turn into this thing. And you'd have to keep going. Well, he's got infinite times. So he could just keep going back for that's how you spend the rest of your life. 7 hours at a time, like in whatever like area where Christ could have been
and
killed.
He would end up becoming Jesus by accident.
That's what I'm saying. It's so he it would
everybody
be a,
would be like, who's that guy?
It'd be a paradox. It'd be like, who's
seen
that weird
this guy?
Guy?
He keeps showing up in art throughout the centuries.
Yeah. He's popping up all over the place.
There
oh shit. It's like I saw that guy when I was 7 years old, now I'm 45 about to die, and I saw he's the same guy in the
there
same
he
clothes.
Is again.
And they'd be like, you got to crucify that motherfucker because he's got powers.
Those are awesome shoes.
And then, so you would be Jesus Christ at that point.
That guy's got awesome shoes.
That they'd be jealous.
Well,
sandals.
You should put it on.
How does he keep him looking so new?
If you have cable.
Would you wear sandals?
Yeah, he'd have to. And he'd have a beard.
I'd have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he have to have a beard?
So he could get crucified.
Because that's what Jesus looked like.
Yeah, he's a white guy with a beard. Everybody knows that. Like Santa Claus. Santa Claus and Jesus
except
were
skinny.
White. White people.
White and skinny.
You can go, yeah. Yeah, no, that would be interesting if Jesse turned out that way. Okay, so taking away the sacrilegious
no, real quick sidebar.
Talk.
So remember, was it I can't remember now. Was it last year or the year before? What year was it when the Fox News blonde lady people got all mad?
Megyn Kelly.
About the idea of like a black
Santa Claus. Yeah, it was, yeah.
I remember being particularly funny because they like, there was this outrage And then, like, they expected other people to be outraged as well. And there didn't seem to be much, like, actual, like, everyone was like, yeah, who cares? It's Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is not real. It's like,
yeah, who cares? He could say he's purple. Who gives a fuck? You know, it's an imaginary person. It's like the pink, like the Easter Bunny is not blue. God damn it! I am putting my foot down.
So what if I go back to where like that, like Stanley and Livingston or whatever, when that dude is all like looking for Livingston?
In Africa.
Yeah, and he's all like Dr. Livingston, I presume. Well, I could be like hanging out
That's
there.
That's a
for
good idea.
Seven yeah. hours before that guy gets there, and I could be there. And then like when he shows up, and it's obviously there's two white guys instead of this one white guy who's obviously fucking like Dr. Livingston.
Yeah,
like he'll be like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Oh, how cool would that be? But would you get? Well, you'd probably want to get there 5 hours before he got there, not seven, because then you'd have 2 hours.
Then I
left.
Could do. Yeah, then there's aftermath.
Because otherwise, you disappear right when he's about to do it. You want to time it right.
Right.
So you'd have to figure out the time of day, and the scientists help you with that.
No, I think what you should do is you should like go in. So like Livingston's sitting there in the woods, and the other guy's like coming up, and like right before the other guy like appears, comes around the corner, and he sees Livingston, and he's like he's all like Dr. Livingston, and then like you come in, and you're like I presume,
and then you disappear and go back. Your 7 hours is up. So you time it. Well, that's the thing. When you're about to go back in time, you have a team of historians and scientists to make sure that you go to the exact point that you want to go to. So, like, if you're like, I want to see when this certain, you know, architecture was first, you know, being built, they'll help you narrow down to, like, you know, most likely when it would have started in the 7 hours that you would have found the most interesting. I'm getting too into this. So yeah, that's what you would
do? Well, I don't mind so much. I mean, I'm just thinking about where to go, not so much the infrastructure of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, that's a cool one. So that'd be your first one?
Which one?
The Livingston? I presume. Is that'd be where you'd
go? That'd be my second one.
You can't take a video camera, though. That's the thing. It's all in your mind. It's only for your own personal illumination and knowledge.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
You know what I'm saying? It's you get to tell people about it, but it's all based on what you like. You get to witness what it was like to be in the medieval times where they were stacking feces up. You get to experience that.
7 hours of stacking feces.
Yeah, you could, if you want, if that's what you're into.
I think that would be like number 10.
You could be shoveling shit in the Middle Ages. Yeah, that would be fun. So Mike's having fun with his music. Mike is playing music. Can you hear us, Mike?
No, he can't. He's got his own
headphones. Oh, you can hear it. You're hearing this whole thing. He's just doing his thing over there.
No, he's listening to a Walkman. He has a Walkman that has the face torn off.
But, oh, he's not listening to the Pandora?
He just has headphones on. They're not headphones that are, yeah.
He has his own headphones on.
Is that raw power on the cassette? Is that the cassette?
No. He's listening to the cassette. Pandora's on the TV, but it's muted.
And he can feel it.
Oh, that's so cool. So you're listening to an actual cassette tape of Iggy Pop raw power.
The Stooges.
And us.
No, he cannot hear us.
The Stooges. I'm sorry, not Iggy Pop, but
he's totally separate from us.
Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Mike is sitting there. Yeah, he's listening to music on a Walkman,
but he can hear us too.
He cannot hear us.
Oh, I'm an idiot. See, that's what I was fascinated by. Like, how the hell did that work? He's plugged into the. He's plugged into because he was kind of responding, but now he's, you know. Do you hear me? What I'm saying, Mike? Yeah, he hears me. He's smiling. He's kind of responding to. He's that was a good one.
I'm going to get some adapters and set it up so that he can listen to like that music while listening to our stuff.
Absolutely. Too. No, that's brilliant. That's absolutely what needs to happen. Because he's having a good time.
It sounds like the Stooges.
It's good to have Mike around. And then we could get him a mic so he could occasionally say something, but he doesn't have to, you know. He's rocking out, man. He's smiling. He's drinking his beer. And he's like rocking out, man. Or he's doing, is that like a turntable kind of?
I think he's doing a walk like, maybe he's listening to the Bangles.
I don't know what he's doing.
Walk like an Egyptian motion.
Yeah, he's dancing over there. He's getting down.
It's still side one.
Yeah, it's one of the best albums ever made. I mean, that's on basically everybody's top 10.
I think he was just listening to Penetration.
Penetration.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It's a great song.
I can play that for you.
Play it. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, right. That.
For a second, I thought that was Jimmy playing the guitar, like doing it himself.
That'd kick ass.
That was Jimmy playing.
I thought, well, first time before I heard, just when he first made the first chord.
He was playing
Jimmy is a trumpet player.
Electric
Maybe
piano.
Maybe he played on trumpet.
That's such a great, every song on this album is fucking fantastic. Raw Power.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It is. It's a classic. I think Kurt Cobain had it on his top 50 albums of all time, you know, and like, who gives a fuck about that? But I mean, it's like everybody who, like, it's in the Rolling Stone top 20 kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like always mentioned. I don't know. So like Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan is always considered one of the best. And honestly,
what songs are on that?
I don't really like that album. And I know that that's like his classic album or his. It's like got.
I don't really like Bob Dylan.
Everybody wanna get stoned.
Okay. Right.
Like that's the first
one.
It's not a bad album. It's just like everybody worships that album. I'm like, he's got stuff that's so much more interesting than that, to me, you know. But that was like a double album that everybody's like, he's a genius, he's a prophet. This is so brilliant. And I'm like, it's okay. I mean, maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know.
Yeah, that guy's really been like, you know. Put on a pedestal.
Yeah, he hated that. But anyway, we talked about it in another podcast. I don't want to get back into that.
Penn Jillette was talking recently. Penn Jillette's a big podcast. Bob Dylan fan.
Yeah.
And on his podcast recently, he was talking about how when he was growing up, he'd listen to Bob Dylan. And he was, you know, he was very young, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And, you know, the early Bob Dylan was all like, you know, he's a hobo riding the trains.
Yeah.
You know, living on the streets and stuff.
Woody Guthrie, yeah.
And Penn Jillette said he wanted to be like Bob Dylan, so he decided he had to live like Bob Dylan. So he went on riding trains and doing street performances.
How cool
and stuff
is that?
Like that? And he was like, it wasn't until later he found out like all that there was Bob Dylan made up that.
It was legendary. Yeah, it was an act.
Made up. And he was like, I actually did that stuff. Yeah. Like, Jillette was like, I actually went out there. I lived like on the streets.
I got to hear that podcast. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, because what Bob Dylan did, he actually did is he went to visit Woody Guthrie when Woody Guthrie was in an insane asylum in the 60s. Oh, Natalie's leaving.
Bye, Natalie.
Bye, Natalie. We got to get together and talk about the hotels. Okay, we'll talk to Jesse.
For your trip to England.
Yeah. Let's bore
not
everybody.
Just a bunch of hotels where they're going to go.
Yeah. Let's just get some hotels in Herndon and hang out in Herndon in a hotel for the 2 weeks.
Herndon.
Maybe Sterling. I don't know.
Yeah. Sterling.
Yeah. Fairfax. Somewhere in Fairfax. Exotic Fairfax.
Ciao.
Have a good one. So Penn Jillette actually lived all that stuff?
Yeah. When Penn Jillette
lived it, baby.
He got out of high school basically early. He made like a deal to get a graduation because they figured yeah, you're smart, but you know you're causing trouble or whatever.
Right.
So just
like, please leave. Everybody wants you to leave.
Yeah, and so he was doing street performances.
Where
and stuff
where is he from?
Massachusetts.
Oh,
Greenfield.
Okay. That podcast we listened to on the way back from Tangier was absolutely fascinating.
He's good.
When he was talking about fasting, I had never heard anything that.
Oh, it was great. You should hear the podcast after he finishes fasting, and he talks about how fucking miserable it was.
I got to hear that. Can
but
you send me the
so,
link for that?
He does this so positively. He's always like, he's talking about how like great it was and stuff, but he was like, but I was not one of the ones who reacted well to it, because he did it for like 14, 15 days.
Yeah, he starved himself. He didn't eat.
Under doctor supervision.
Yeah, I mean, so he would have like a thimble of water every day.
And it was just basically something to do, because like he's worked nonstop with Teller for like over 40 years.
Yeah.
Like literally no more than a couple days break at any given time. But Teller just had to have back surgery. So he was out of commission for like 7 weeks or something.
Like, what am I going
to
do?
Even longer, like 3 months. So like Jillette just had to like spend all summer trying to find things to do. And because of his personality, he ended up doing a bunch of crazy nonsense.
And one of them was and did he lose a lot of weight, obviously?
No, not that. I mean, he did. But like with the fast, you also, the idea, theoretically, I don't know the deal behind it so much.
Some
but,
spiritual experience he wanted to have.
Well, he wanted to get the high, because people say like you feel like you're on like acid or something, but you can get it with fasting. And after the fact, he was like, yeah, I didn't get that.
Oh, he was just like, I was just hungry and miserable. Yeah.
But I still think he enjoyed it. He's the type of guy who it's admirable.
It's an experience.
It's admirable in the sense that, you know, he's interested in like trying things out, and even if they're miserable, he's like, well, I learned that that's miserable or whatever, you know.
Well, what I found interesting is that he's a big Bob Dylan fan, and but he's an atheist. Penn is a well-known atheist.
He did not, and he made a big deal once about how he wouldn't he wouldn't listen to the Bob Dylan Christian. He felt it was like a betrayal.
And
at
what
the time?
Yeah, and what Bob Dylan does is he has the bootleg series. So he's the 13th. He's about 13 or 14, where he takes like sessions that he did, and it's got, because he at one point was just writing a song a minute, and he just recorded everything. And
Pendula.
No, Bob Dylan. And okay, background from 1979 to 1981, Bob Dylan was a born again Christian.
Yeah, right.
And then he popped out of it and just started going back to secular music in 1983 for his album Infidels.
So, but wait, was he a Christian during the Traveling Wilburys?
No, it was
like a year or two.
It was like 2 years, but he put out three albums in those 2 years, and they were like just very like. Very Christian, like I'm the property of Jesus. It was like it wasn't even clever to start. And one of the albums was called Saved.
It wasn't even.
And it wasn't. No, I'm serious.
I know.
Yeah, because the first album was like Slow Train to Coming, and there was like You Gotta Serve Somebody was a song on it, which is like okay, that's kind of interesting. That's like it's obviously Christian, but I can deal with this.
It wasn't like Johnny Cash Christian. It was like
it was. Well, the first album was like kind of good, and then like the second album is just crazy. It's just like I'm the property of Jesus. I've been saved, hallelujah, and all that. And, you know, whatever. He genuinely believed it. But anyway, those three albums were ones that I don't really listen to, and a lot of Bob Dylan fans kind of don't really think about, try not to think about. But he put out, like, a bootleg volume number 14 or whatever is that era and has a bunch of Christian songs when he was writing in that vein. And he asked Penn Jillette to do the liner notes for that, which is hilarious because Penn Jillette's like, I've never heard any of this shit. I don't like any of this shit. But that's the kind of thing Bob Dylan does. Like he always has to like do something enigmatic, you know.
Enigmatic.
Yeah.
Well, right on.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought I didn't know about that till Patrick told me that he asked Penn Jillette, the atheist, to write about that. So you know, you can never nail Bob Dylan down. He's freaking weird.
Did we sort out this history business?
I drove by his house in New Orleans on some kind of tour.
Oh, really? Big house, I bet, right?
Yeah, well, like, I didn't see it, but, like, it was all like, yeah, his house is, like, through those gates or whatever.
Yeah, okay. That's
Is he in the Garden District?
Yeah, he's over in the Garden District.
Okay.
Jimmy's been down there. You guys have been everywhere. You guys have been in... Talk about New Orleans.
I've been there.
Enough of my boring, you know...
I've been there twice.
You've been in New Orleans twice?
There's very good, very good seafood.
What did you do down
and
in...
other food, and just about all the food is...
Did you guys ever go together?
No. I went with Natalie... like last year.
Was that the first time you'd been?
Yeah.
What about you, Jimmy?
I think other people have been there more than once, perhaps.
I was in there in 2000.
What were you there? Were you just there with just hanging out, just by yourself? Or
I was there. I met my dad there. He had like a convention, and it was over, and it was like my birthday around that time in November. So I went down for like a weekend.
Oh, yeah. You're Scorpio like me. I'm on these dating apps, and they're always like, oh, you're a Scorpio. And I'm like, drawn into this nonsense. But I'm like, yeah, is that a good thing? If it's a good thing, I am. If it's a bad thing, I don't care about that shit.
Oh, man. I was taking some tests, I think, for, like, pool operators, and this girl is like, what sign are you? I was like, Scorpio? She's like, no.
I know.
I'm not talking to you.
But then some girls are really intrigued by it. Like, and they're like, oh. And you're like, is that... I mean, is this going to help me in my endeavor? Or is I mean, because if it's going to help me, I'm fine to embrace it.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway, now I sound like a jerk and an asshole and a phony, which I am. So that's all right. You're such a phony. Like, you know that Michael Jordan is just so phony. You can make it sound like a good thing. Seinfeld. Okay. So Jim. So Jimmy, what's your birthday? November 11th?
18th.
Okay. So you were down in the year 2000 when you were about 22, 23, something like that?
Something like that. Anyway, it was during the 2000 election that had not been decided yet by the Supreme Court.
Oh my God, yeah.
So you could see all kinds of, like, you know, political stuff. And the only Gore, what was it, Lieberman... Mm-hmm. In the Garden District was Ann Rice's house.
Lieberman, that guy sucks.
Yeah, well, he, yeah.
Well, he went nuts after September the 11th.
Yeah, he really did. He was like a big proponent of like Iraq and W. Bush and all this shit.
Prevented the public option.
How great would that have been if we had a public option?
Would have made a big difference.
Would have made a huge difference. And it would. Yep.
The guy's like Willie from Elf.
Yeah, and that Willie from Alf was like a crackhead.
Was he?
I saw pictures at the supermarket.
The dad became a crackhead?
Yeah, I think it's true. Like, he was arrested because there's pictures of him, and he and the funny thing is he looks exactly like Willie from Alf. I mean, he looks exactly the same. A little bit
older.
He's
a famous guy. I mean,
and he's sitting
on
a couch, like, next to a couple of, like, naked dudes smoking. They're just smoking a bunch of crack.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can look it up and find it for you.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
well,
you should find that. That's funny.
Are they rebooting Alf? Are they going to have Willie on it? Or is it going to be like a whole new cast? No, because I heard they were rebooting Alf, but you know, like they did with Roseanne, which turned into a disaster.
Right.
But
so
they
so
had
the original Alf, like my dad went to college with one of the guys that was like a writer and producer.
Well, I remember liking that show in the 80s because I was a kid, you know, and you like that show when you're young, or I did. I don't know. Do they still play Alf on TV? Like reruns?
I mean, you know where they probably play it is like what Mike was talking to me about today. Like when you have like channel 7.3, you know, the digital sub-channels.
Yeah, yeah, like the extra.
Those are gold mines for like some like old school, like crazy random, like old movies and sci-fi. And
yeah,
stuff
it's like
that.
Nostalgic. You're like, oh, I remember seeing
But here,
this.
Here's some pictures. See, like,
Holy
here's
shit.
Willie.
Is he kissing those dudes?
Yeah. Oh my God,
he's like kissing that one guy.
It's Willie smoking crack. This is what it is. It's oh, the guy.
Elf, oh, I wish I could unmistakably do a Willie impression.
Well, so, okay, well, here's my question. When they when they reboot Alf, is it going to be...
It is not going to be this actor.
So he's not coming back?
No.
Max so, Wright.
It should be him, right? I mean, it should be like what Alf comes back to Earth. He went to Melmac or whatever.
Melmac.
It should show that his that Willie was turned into a fucking crackhead while he was gone because he didn't have the influence of Alf and the love of Alf.
They would do that. That would be. It's like, thank God we have the balance back in my life. I'm not smoking crack with people, you know, making out with strangers. But so wait, so it's going to be like the puppet, but a whole new cast and a reboot. And they're going to pretend that the original Alf in the
80s. I think there was a guy in that suit, man.
Was there?
Yeah. I don't think that was a puppet.
It like a little guy.
Yeah, there was sometimes. It was mostly a puppet.
Oh, it was a puppet when he was like behind the counter.
Hello. Hi, this is Alf.
Well,
Alf.
Hello,
my name is Alf.
And he ate cats that on the
I
planet.
I come from
That's
the planet Melmac.
I think so, yeah. There was an Alf cartoon, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. It was a big deal back in the friggin' 80s, man. It was a huge, it was a sensation.
Yeah.
Alien life form. So now they're bringing it back.
We have got to go to a hockey game sometime.
So basically, he's playing, Mike's, he's playing Alf clip, so it's, you know, into a headphone.
Ha! Ha! Ha!
So...
Ah! Ah!
When does the new Alf come out? I'm not gonna watch it. I know. I'm gonna specifically make sure I don't watch it because Willie's not.
They're gonna
call it Ralph and stuff.
All right. Because we don't know this yet. Because I don't think this information is out yet.
Right.
We're still in the time and space where we can develop our fantasy cast for the new Alf. At least Willie. So imagine. Don't discount Alf yet. Imagine what actor. Would play Willie to would have to would what actor would they have to hire to play
Joe
Willie
Lieberman.
But is the
for you to want to watch the show
but is the character Willie gonna be in it, like are they gonna just have a new like a Bobby?
That's up to you. It can be a new character. It doesn't have to be Willie. It can be just a new person. So forget about Willie. Just
I,
say
I
it's
I
a new person who's gonna take care of Alf.
I can't imagine a scenario where I'd watch Alf. Maybe Mel Gibson. If Mel Gibson was on the show with Alf, I'd probably watch that just out of the car train wreck of the whole thing.
That's not a bad idea right there.
Yeah, because he could probably do it. Like, you know, it would be weird. It'd be
they would have to film the behind the scenes as like a separate reality show.
Yeah.
They would play like right
that would be what I'd want to see. I wouldn't want to see the actual show. I'd want to see the making of that show. Like Mel Gibson as Willie in the reboot of Alf, but not the actual show, the making of that. But Jesse's just sitting there looking disgusted.
I'm trying to think of somebody.
Jesse's just like looks like he's gonna throw up. This yeah,
throw up all over you.
No, don't do it.
I'll never see the purple
is it
sun
be,
on my planet
is
again.
Is it gonna be Alf? The same guy that does Alf. Is he gonna be Alf?
Yes.
She's only 16 years old.
I don't know, but I'm saying in our scenario, we're gonna say he is.
Alf Star battles crack addiction. What if that headline had to still be true?
Yeah.
Which actor would you hire?
I think they should do Alf with like Justin Roiland or something.
Oh, that would be good.
Justin Roiland?
That would be good. Yeah, because the it would flip the premise, because instead of Willie, the character of Willie always being exacerbated by Alf, Alf would be exacerbated by Justin Roiland. And Justin Roiland should play himself.
Right. He would just out Alf him.
Alf, I love you.
Oh, that would be intense. Well, it's September. It's Saturday, September 22nd at 1:33 in the morning.
I beat China all the time.
The seasons have changed.
Oh, fuck. It's fall now, isn't it?
Is it fall now?
Yeah, officially. Well, it was yesterday, right? I mean, yes.
I believe so.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, yeah.
It's Friday night, Saturday morning right now. So I came over here on Friday night. Now it's technically Saturday morning. So was it yesterday or was it, you know, Friday that was the 21st? Was that the first day of fall? Or is it the day after that?
I'm more interested in who's going to play.
Yeah.
Alf's dad. I actually, no, wait. I guess just.
I love the fall in this area, though. This is the best season in this area as far as weather goes.
I tend to agree.
I
didn't used to agree.
It's the only season that it used to be like associated with going back to school.
Yeah, you're going back to school.
Which was awful.
Summer's over.
It's definitely better without the school show.
No, yeah. In the year, it wasn't until the 2000s that I realized how much I love the fall. And even going to college, it was fine.
It's also been getting hotter in the summer, so summers are like a little less entertaining, I think, than they used to be.
Well,
this summer was all rain.
They're a lot longer.
But even going to college when I was at Nova in the fall, it was like nice, you know, because I was also taking classes I liked and it wasn't like impending doom. I don't like the spring because it's got all the pollen and the summer's extremely hot and the winter's miserably cold. But the fall, I love.
I have allergies like all year round.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like spring because you get all the colors and shit.
Yeah. Well, what actor would you want to play Willie on Alf?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It matters to me. It matters to me, man.
It doesn't matter.
It's real to me, man.
It's real.
It's real.
It's a fake.
It's real.
I was watching. I was watching Far Beyond the Stars with Jamie,
mm-hmm.
and it got to that point, she's like, "Oh, that's where that's from."
That's such a great episode. That's like such an I think The Visitor is more emotional to me, but that's probably second.
Yeah, I mean, The Visitor is like
one of the best pieces
emotional. Like it's poignant. It's Far Beyond the Stars is kind of depressing, and it was more depressing now because when it came out in '96 or whatever. When it came out, it was like, oh man, things were so terrible, and I'm glad things have improved.
Right.
Like you watch it now, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ,
still like
this
that.
Shit again. You're just like, oh, I'm just watching. This could be today. There's no reason it has to take place. The whole plot could be transposed to today.
It's depressing.
With very little difference.
Man, what a brilliant show that was. It sucks that. Oh, I guess it was a kind of its own thing. It ended and it was done, and you don't really need to mess with it anymore. But it really was. It left you wanting more, but it also was a satisfying ending. You know,
I don't think they explored enough with Odo and his sexuality.
You think they should make a sequel just for that?
It doesn't have to be a sequel. It could be like a. It could be like a.
Do you think in the
miniseries,
maybe on the new Picard show, Odo can show up with a boner?
Yeah, there can be like a side plot.
Yeah,
like a totally unrelated side plot.
I think that this Picard show. I'm hoping. I was talking to Will Mitchell about this. I'm kind of thinking that it's going to turn into a TNG reunion, basically, because I think all the actors like all get along. They all love each other. And Gates McFadden was interviewed and she's like, I don't know anything about it, but I wouldn't be opposed to being a part of it, you know? And it's like, and then there's this big reunion photo with everybody but Jonathan Frakes, and they're all sitting around Patrick Stewart, all smiling, and they all love each other. I can't imagine.
It's going to turn out the whole plot centers around, like, Picard, like, walking through the graveyard. and he's just lamenting all his friends are dead.
Maybe.
And that his mind is going with that disease.
What was it called? It's the same year of All Good Things now, because it's 25 years in the future from 1994. Yeah. Arimotic syndrome?
Yeah, something like that.
You have advanced arimotic syndrome, Picard.
But maybe they can catch it early.
I'm not an invalid. I'm not an invalid. God damn it, it's the chicken or the egg, Jordy.
The chicken or the egg, Jordy.
It's the chicken or the egg. We did it in the past and the future. I believe the captain is describing a paradox. Yes, that's it, Data. A paradox. So basically, that was in 25 years
not
in the future.
Not French at all, Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, I think it was because he was when the Federation started to run shit. It was English because we made first contact in Montana, which is an English-speaking country. Which means that in France, he probably learned English in a British way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, more regionally.
And he started drinking, there, like, started drinking Earl Grey tea. And,
well, I think that he...
Reading all that Shakespeare.
That was 300 years in the future, though. You have to keep that in mind.
Where the effective difference between a Brit and a Frenchman is nil.
Yeah, 300 years
from now. Despite Brexit.
Well, like, even Canada and the U.S., like, what's his name?
Canada, they say process and project.
Exactly.
Yeah, paprika.
But Canada and the U.S. in the year 24...
They have a coin named a loonie.
What year did Star Trek Next Generation? It was like 2379 or 2364 to 2379, something like that.
Somewhere in there. If you count all the movies, if you count through...
Oh, no, we don't want to get on that. But, no, I think from episode one of TNG, it was the year 2364, and the movie Nemesis, which we will not get into, was 2379. So this would be... Like, what, 15 years after that? So they'd be, like, in the 2390s? Or it'd be almost the turn of the century?
Yeah, no, I think the year is actually going to be 2399.
Oh, how cool is that?
That's exactly what the year is. It's 20 years exactly afterwards. 2399, the turn into the new century of the Star Trek
That'll be
universe.
Cool, because it'll be, the turn of the 25th century.
Yeah, could be cool.
So, I don't know if they'll... I mean, I don't think they'll be back on the Enterprise, because that would be a little bit too contrived. I would love it. Do you think they... you know what? They might have one episode where they're all back on the Enterprise. I bet they'll do that.
Maybe. I don't know.
But they'd have to do it...
It's expensive.
They'd have to do it in an interesting way.
I can't
really
tell what Jimmy's playing.
Yeah. Jimmy's hanging out with it. What's going on over at Jimmy's house?
He's dancing around naked. He's dancing.
Will Mitchell said he wanted to be part of this podcast. He said that he would listen to this because I email Will once every...
We should call Will up next time.
Yeah. So you, like, Will, play annoying shit in the background. You know? That's all you got to do to be a part of this podcast, and you're cool.
You're fired.
So I'm excited about that new show. I think it's cool that it's a blank canvas, and he's like, nothing's been written yet. We want it to be interesting. We don't want to, we want to just say this is what he's doing 20 years from now. He could be hanging out with Data. He could be sucking his own dick. We don't know what he's doing,
They can do that in the future.
And they could do it an alternate timeline. They could pretend that Nemesis never happened. They could do whatever the fuck
awesome.
They want. Yeah, I mean, no, they could.
It'd be awesome, man, if they... not even an alternate timeline. Here's what I would do. Like, for whatever comes after, the Nemesis, like, post-Nemesis time frame, whatever comes after, it should be... somebody should mention something from Nemesis... And then, like,
what?
So one of the other people will just be like, "Oh no, people, no, you got that wrong."
That was in the holodeck.
Yeah, that was that, no.
That was a holodeck simulation.
Don't you remember?
They could do that. They could do Q. Like, could change everything. Yeah. Q could be nothing. Like, "Oh yeah, Data's back alive, and that movie never happened."
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Q and the holodeck are great on TNG because they could just say, "No. That's all bullshit."
Riker would be like, "Why would they have a?" Clone of why would they clone Picard before they knew he would be famous? It doesn't make any sense.
It's like Wesley, or it's like a kid on the holodeck trying to come up with like a plot, and they're like, dude, it just doesn't work. Like they're all standing outside of the holodeck.
This is real fanficky.
They're like, dude, we really thought it was an entertaining little thing you made on the holodeck of all simulations of all of us. But why the hell would they do a clone of Picard? It doesn't make, why would they do that? Data isn't that stupid to, blow himself up.
Where the fuck did these Riemann people come from?
Yeah, and the Riemanns...
They're like monsters.
Yeah, this is just so bizarrely
vampire
stupid.
Vampire monsters.
Yeah, and you can't have any sympathy for the Riemanns, It's like you're almost on the side of, let's eradicate these people because they're grotesque and they murder and rape people. That's what
Not great.
Yeah,
they don't have a great...
You're almost like, I get why the Romulans don't want to deal with these people and kind of...
They've got some maladaptive cultural traits.
Yeah. So, but they didn't even at least go into that a little bit, explain it, like a little bit more than just these are grotesque people that want to be weird and disturb people. So, yeah. So that's the great thing about Star Trek is that Q can come and like snap his fingers and it never happened. Or it could say, "Oh,
I like your idea of just literally the opening scene is that
holiday."
You're watching like the end of Nemesis.
Yeah,
with like Data like all jumping out of the ship.
Yeah, jumping out of the ship and sacrificing himself, and which is kind of cool.
And being all like, "I'm going to do what Spock did in Star Trek 2."
Yeah,
I'll put
right.
My brain
yeah.
In.
Yeah.
But that's all happening, and then like the camera pans back, and then you realize it's just a screen, and like you said, it's like a little kid.
Yeah, it's them watching.
And then it's like his dad comes in, and it's just like, this is just his son. You just
Riker comes in.
Riker comes in and starts beating the kid.
No, Riker comes in and says, "Look, kid, that first of all, in that era in 2379, we were in the Alpha, we were in the Delta Quadrant, trying to do blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think they were in the Delta Quadrant."
Well, whatever. I mean, he probably was. Obviously, the Voyager. We were cleaning up another Borg situation. I don't know, something. Like, I'm not a good writer for Star Trek, but they could do something.
But you're not trying to be. But this stupid kid is.
I could write something better than. That's what they should do, and they could have it all be like. Here's the question, Patrick. Would you want to write out Insurrection and First Contact also? Or would you want to just say after Insurrection is where it is real?
I mean, after Insurrection would be fine. Insurrection is okay. Fine.
Yeah, it's not
bad. I'm actually not, as I get older, I grow less and less fond of both.
Right. I love
all
First
of them.
Contact,
Generations,
yeah.
First Contact, they all have some.
Well, they're very different tonally.
First Contact is the best.
Well, it's an action movie. It's very different. And it's got
cool. It's a little too actiony. That's one
it's
of my
It's got cool
with
stuff
it.
In it, but it's a very different tone. It's cool for a one-off. But like they only did it right once. You know what I mean? Like that kind of movie you can only really do once with TNG.
Yeah,
and they try.
It's like a long episode.
Yeah, but that one's really good because it's got like time travel to the past, but it's really still our future. And then it has the whole mythos of like Star Trek, where they meet the Vulcans for the first time.
Yeah.
You meet Severin Cochrane, and then you know what I mean? It's like there's the Borg. It's amazing. I mean, it's just got so much going on, but they tried to recapture that, and it just you can't recapture that because it's just like that only works once, and then go back to and then they did it in Insurrection. They're like, oh, this is kind of boring, just doing another episode. So instead of making a more interesting episode, they tried to make another First Contact.
I think
and
they
failed.
Should have. I don't think they needed to destroy the Enterprise D.
Did that in
I know,
Generations.
I'm
yeah.
saying that. I think that's what led to some of the problems. I think even in First Contact, there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a disconnect
from the show.
Because there is that more action stuff. There's the bulging muscle Picard.
Yeah.
It's
more of a warship.
There's the hit Picard going sort of uncharacteristically, even though justifiably crazy, but like uncharacteristically.
Well, in First Contact, it's fine. Yeah.
But
then later on, he's like just shooting like in Insurrection.
But,
in
Generations, the problem is they smash the shit up, the ship up.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, my understanding is, that it was simply a practical thing. The sets were not designed for filming, like for film, for that high quality to be projected at. So they upgraded them a little bit for the purpose of that.
But it looked good.
Movie.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, but I think the idea was that. It was going to be, they were going to have to effectively rebuild the sets.
Oh.
And they were like, since we have to do that anyway, why don't we kind of make
Enterprise
a new,
E.
Yeah, make a new thing? We can, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that decision per se, but I
you
think
don't,
in retrospect, it created some disconnect.
It did, because like the whole thing with TNG is like you feel like you could go on that ship.
Exactly.
Like you're like, I know where 10-4 is. I know where. You know, like
now you're unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, and now you're like you get. I mean, with only three movies on that ship,
and it's a very different style. It has a very militaristic style, which is fine on the Defiant or something like that. But
and I guess like it had the holodeck, which is pretty much the same as the Enterprise D. But you see that in First Contact. But what do you even see the holodeck? You do see the holodeck in Insurrection, right?
Well, I know they use some holotransmitters to hide the
ship. To confuse the guy or whatever. Yeah.
A trick.
Anyway, yeah, you don't get to explore the ship. I mean, a billionth as much as you do on the show. You know,
a billionth.
Well, you see, like Picard's ready room, and
they got a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I love it. But when you get to really know Picard's ready room, you're like, oh, he's going into his ready room, and I've seen that ready room like 70
fish.
Times.
He's got that fish.
Yeah, he's got the fish in there. He's got his little window. He looks out at the end of Darmok. You know what I mean? It's like, you know that universe. I think that's absolutely right, what Patrick is saying. That's part of why, at least if like, Nemesis would still have sucked, but it might have almost like grounded that movie in like, oh, we're getting to see like our ship again. But you're like, I don't give a fuck about this ship because I don't really know the ship. I think there's something to that. You know?
Well, there were similar issues in Star Trek V because in Star Trek V, they were getting a refit ship. It was more TNG style bridge.
Yeah.
They completely changed the bridge design. It had that weird shaft that for some reason had like 100 levels that everyone finds architecturally confusing.
But it worked in six.
Because it's a whole new ship. They completely redid the bridge and they put it back towards, it was Nicholas Meyer coming back to direct, and they put it back to more of a militaristic sort of Star Trek II style.
Yeah.
I mean, upgraded and modern, but not the comfortable TNG style pastel or whatever. I guess those aren't quite pastel colors, but
so would you say Star Trek 2, 3, 4, and 6 are the four best Star Trek movies?
Probably.
I mean, because like, you know,
because there's like those three are like a trilogy.
Yeah.
And 6 is a good
send off.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2, I mean, 3,
two,
and 4.
2 and 6 in my book tend to be the
Yeah, well, those are the go-tos.
I don't know. I mean,
I love Six. Six was my favorite for years.
I just think those movies, two in particular, I think two...
Two is a brilliant film.
Two qualifies as both a good Star Trek movie and a good movie.
Yeah.
Not all Star Trek, not all genre movies.
It transcends Star Trek. You know?
There are lots of movies, even in like the Marvel Universe or whatever, where they're like, this is an amazing, entertaining Marvel movie. It's maybe not like, you know... It's not like up here.
No.
In Star Trek 2, I think, is one of the only ones that's like, oh, yeah, no, this is like...
It's emotional. You remember in the Seinfeld where, like, George and Jerry, they have friends who die and kill themselves, and they're not emotional at all, but then they're talking about when Spock dies, they get all, like teary-eyed, like, yeah. It's not... It didn't even really happen. Leonard Nimoy didn't die. We did, but not at that time, you know? It's kind of brilliant that, like, movies will make you cry, and then your best friend killing himself will be like, nah, whatever.
Well, that's when they were doing the bit where they were all like,
Oh yeah, George is like, ah. I can't remember why he was doing that, but they incorporate.
It's like a later. It's like one of the later seasons.
Well, because for some reason Kramer said that The Search for Spock was the best of all of them, and like he had a debate. Like he's like, I know Jerry and George prefer Khan, but I think Search for Spock is by far the better picture. I don't know. So they get really into that. The Search for Cock. Yeah, that's my life. Well, no, it isn't. I wish it was.
All right, I think I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.